On behalf of Pastor Joe and all of us here at Portland Mount Hope Church, our hope is that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk with Jesus in confidence and in boldness. Check out more of the messages and events happening here at Portland Mount Hope by going to our website at portlandmounthope.org and come join us Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, here is Pastor Joe.
If you need an outline for the message, raise your hands. The ushers will get you one. And you can open your Bibles, turn your phones on to Matthew chapter 1. This time of the year, we all know the Christmas story, but there are so many subplots to the Christmas story. Last week, we heard about Mary's story, and this week, we're going to take a look at another subplot to the Christmas story, and we're going to talk about Joseph's story. And in a nutshell, Joseph's story is about an individual who understood his role and then was fully committed to it, okay? So let's take a few lessons from Joseph's story. Lesson number one is this. Know your role. Let's read verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit." Who is, you know, the Academy Awards, they give out an Emmy for the lead actor or an actress in a movie, and then they give out an award for supporting actor or actress, right? Who is the lead character in this story, in this one verse? Who? Mary. Yeah, I was waiting for somebody to say Jesus. You know, there's that old story in Sunday school. You know, what's white and furry and has four legs and it hops, and kid raises his hand. Teacher, sounds a lot like a rabbit, but I know the answer is Jesus. You know, because everything, the answer is Jesus. But you answered correctly. It is Mary. She is the main character thus far in the Christmas story. But yet, we're looking at Joseph's story, and we need to understand that his role in the Christmas story is very different than Mary's. And primarily, this is what his role is. It was to support what God was doing in Mary's life. And that's true of us. Sometimes the story isn't about us. We always want to be the lead character in the story. I mean, there's that tendency. We tend to think along those terms. But oftentimes when God is doing something, he's calling us not to be the lead character, but to be supporting cast for someone else. That was Joseph's role. We have to be careful to not always make things about us. I believe that God calls us in some way to play a supportive role in many people's lives. I mean, just look around. God is calling many of you to play the supporting role in the lives of others around here. I want to share with you three ways that we can recognize that we're in a supporting role, all right? Because something's going down, and am I the lead character in this, or am I playing a supporting role? Three ways you can identify that you're in a supporting role. Number one, the focus is on someone else. Mary was the primary focus, not Joseph, all right? And sometimes in the storyline, we're not the primary character. We are someone coming along to support. The second way we can recognize a supporting role is that our options are limited And the best thing that we can do is encourage. All right? In other words, encouragement is the best option. How many of you know that you follow out the story, you're going to find that Mary is going to need a lot of encouragement and a lot of support in the days ahead. You know, I think of Stacy's mom passing. For those of you who know Stacy and are close to her, she's going to need our love, our support, and our encouragement in the days ahead. That's very much a supporting role. I think of the many Mount Hopers. You know, we've been a church 27 years now, and there are many who have been here a long time, but some of them are now basically homebound. In other words, they can't get out to come to church anymore, or they struggle. I think of Sandy Lawless. She's been up in Carson City many months. And we need to love her and encourage her and support her. Sandy Platty. It's hard for her health-wise to get out. Dan Beach struggles to get out. Ted Newman just spent 3 weeks in the hospital, and he's up at Tender Care West right now. He needs our support and our love and our encouragement, and Opal Ball and others. And what's going on in their situation? They're the main character. But we can play the supporting role. Can we go in and make their health better? We can certainly lay hands on them and pray for healing and that type of a thing. But something we can all do, and it won't cost us a dime, we can go in and encourage them and support them and pray for them, send them a card, whatever it is. But that's the second way to know that yours is a supporting role. You're limited, but we can always encourage. I think of Ward McCready. Ward was, his ministry was that of encouragement. He was one of my biggest encouragers. And I shared that at his funeral. And what I had people tell me afterwards, different people, Ward, man, he encouraged me so much. That was, I thought, in my little limited, you know, I'm his pastor, and he just really wanted to be an encouragement to his pastor, but that's just the way he was. He encouraged so many people, and he did that very well. So encouragement is the one thing that all of us can do for someone else, and it's a supporting role, but boy, is it an important one. The third way that we can recognize it's a supporting role, we have the option of walking away. You know, we can walk away from the situation and distance ourselves from it. Say, well, it's not really our problem. That's a supporting role, or the lack thereof. But understanding that, how many know if you're the main character, you can't walk away from it, right? You cannot walk away from it. So if you're only a supporting character, you have that option. Joseph could have walked away, but he chose not to. And once he understood what his role was, he was absolutely 100% committed to it. And let me say this. It takes far more faith and courage to commit to a supporting role than to walk away. Walking away is the easy thing to do. See, commitment costs us something. It may cost us time, energy, money. I know many of us are getting at the age where our parents are quite elderly. And what they could do freely for themselves, they can no longer do that. And the parent, or the child then becomes the parent. I know John has to leave early today for that very reason, to help his dad with something. And many of you, Lisa, I think what you and Dana do, and your whole, all your siblings are amazing. And Nancy Ann, through the roof, the way you wait. any mom, dad, and sister. And so many others. You see, you could all walk away, but you've chosen not to. You've remained committed. It has cost you time. It has cost you energy. It has cost you money. I know, Dan Seal, you're going through that right now. And forgive me, I know others probably aren't. I'm missing you, but supporting roles are extraordinarily important. Let's not minimize them. The best way to be supported is to first support others in their time of need. It's the sowing and reaping principle, okay? If you say, man, I just want people to support me, and what have you done for others? So often we look at what people haven't done for us, and we're totally blind to the fact that we haven't done anything. We haven't played a supporting role for other people. So, lessons from Joseph's story. Know your role. More often than not, it will be to be a supportive role rather than the main character, and be committed to it, excel in it, and God will bless you for it. The second lesson from Joseph's story is that of getting God's perspective. Let's read verse 19 and 20. It says, and Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Whoa. We just found out that Mary is betrothed and going to have a baby. Understand, Joseph was a godly man, and this godly man, he had a pure heart, but he was about to do the wrong thing. And we can love God with all of our heart. We can have a pure heart. Our heart can be as pure as gold, but we can still do the wrong thing. How or why? You see, he heard that Mary's pregnant, and she's betrothed to me. So you look at it purely in the natural, and it's obvious Mary committed adultery. She's carrying some other man's child, and according to Jewish law, she should be stoned to death. But yet Joseph said, I love Mary, my heart is broken, but I don't want to see her stoned to death, so I'm secretly going to divorce her. But understand what it means to be betrothed is it's one step up from engagement. The parents back then, the marriages were arranged, so the parents would kind of arrange it. And when the couple sort of agreed to it, they would be betrothed, and they would enter into that for a period of a year, and then would be the wedding and the marriage, and they would consummate the marriage. And so it went past the engagement stage to where they're betrothed, and once you go into that betrothed stage, you need to divorce that individual. An engagement, you break it off and you walk away. Well, if they're betrothed, a divorce is necessary. That's where Mary and Joseph were at the time that the news came. But he loved her, and rather than seeing her stoned to death, he said, I'm just going to secretly divorce her and go that way. But Joseph only saw the situation and processed it from the natural, from the realm of the senses, all right? Well, it's obvious. She's pregnant. She was unfaithful. I'm going to put her away. But then all of a sudden, that angel appeared. And the angel said, but when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph was he was guilty of reacting to the situation only in the natural. But when he got God's perspective on it, it changed everything. Everything. All of a sudden, Mary was not guilty anymore of adultery. All of a sudden, what was happening was something beyond their ability to fully comprehend, but all they knew that it was of God, and God was in the middle of it, and God was doing something absolutely amazing in this situation. And let me tell you, without God's perspective, it is easy for any of us to make the wrong decisions. We find ourselves going through something, and there's the tendency to react purely in the natural. But once we get God's perspective and hear as he hears and sees as he sees, and it can change everything. Everything. Acting without God's perspective can lead to poor decisions with big consequences. You know, I want to encourage you. You're going through something, whether you're the main character, whether you're the supporting cast, take the time before we pass judgment on anything. God, give me your perspective on this. Help me to see as you see it. You know, that really helped me. I grew up on a farm and it, a lot of turmoil there. And when I took a step back and I saw how my dad grew up, his life was so much worse than mine. And my dad made my life so much better than what he had it. And when I understood that, it gave me some clarity and some perspective to be far more appreciative. Even though it wasn't easy, I was far more appreciative because of getting a little bit different perspective. So, that's the second thing. Make sure we have God's perspective in the situation. The third lesson we can learn from Joseph's story is to look for the bigger picture. Verse 21 through 23. And the angel's continuing to talk to Joseph. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Whoa. All of a sudden, he's ready to divorce Mary because she was unfaithful. And all of a sudden, he just found out not only was Mary not unfaithful, but she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And if that wasn't unusual enough, the baby that she's going to give birth to is going to be the Son of God. He's going to save everyone from their sins. Whoa. That's a pretty large picture there. It's one thing to give birth to a baby. It's another thing for it to be the Son of God. So Joseph not only got God's perspective, which is the immediate, hey, this is a God thing, it's, you know, but he was shown the bigger picture as well. And listen to some of the things the angel told him. He said, okay, Mary will have a son, and you're going to name him Jesus. And this Jesus, this child that you're going to raise, he will save his people from their sins. Could you imagine the responsibility of raising Jesus? You know, I mean, think about that. Every time, you know, Mary, we can't screw this up. There's a lot of consequences here if we screw it up. And then, when they lost Jesus, remember he's, what, 10, 11, 12 years old, and they went into Jerusalem, and they lost him. oh, Mary, Mary, Mary. The stress of raising the son of, I've raised three kids. It's stressful enough raising three ordinary kids, right? But when it's the Son of God, the Savior of the world, whoa. So the angel said, all right, he will save his people from their sins. He will be a fulfillment of prophecy. I was reading last night that every prophecy, 100% of the prophecies made in the Bible up to this point in time have come to pass. There are future prophecies, end time prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. You know, we hear about prophecies. You hear about, you remember some of those guys who said, hey, the world's going to end on this day or that day, and they were proved wrong. And so people kind of get very, there are people who speak prophetically that are very accurate and things come to pass. And then there are people who speak prophetically and it's a bunch of nonsense. And so how do you know which one is which? And you can take a negative view of prophecy even when it comes from the scriptures. But up to this point, 100% of scripture has been completely fulfilled, you know, except for the end time prophecy. So that tells you, if it has 100% track record up to this point, what do you think going forward? 100% accuracy? All right. And so the angel was saying that, hey, Jesus is a fulfillment of prophecy. He will be called Emmanuel, God with us. So we see that this story went from simply having a miracle baby to giving birth to the Son of God. Understand that there's always a bigger picture to what God is doing in your life, in the lives of people that you're trying to encourage and support. Last week, we joked about, you know, Mary's story, that when you hear from God, pregnancy could occur. And I was told afterwards that one of the guys was uncomfortable with the idea of being pregnant. We got a good laugh out of it. But understand, when I talk about when we hear a clear word from the Lord, pregnancy could occur, it is a desire to do what God has put in your heart to do. You're pregnant with that. For some of you, it was to go to Ghana. For some, Costa Rica. Some, to adopt. Some, to do this or that or other things, okay? But understand that today's pregnancy is tomorrow's purpose. And in the pregnancy stage, it can often be misunderstood. You want to do what? You want to go where? Why in the world would you do that? People looking at it purely from a natural perspective can't understand the pregnancy, that, you know, what you're carrying around inside of you. But for Joseph and Mary, this pregnancy became their purpose. And when we're carrying it around with us, we have to be careful, in a sense, who we share that with. We want people who will encourage us, not discourage us. But understand that as we give birth to that, it often brings a greater purpose and there's a bigger picture to it. You know, I think about, you know, I think it was about a year ago right now that those of us who went to Ghana were over there. I wouldn't be surprised to see some of those people still eating in the food and the impact. You know, I remember one of the evening outdoor crusades. And we went down and just started laying hands on people, left and right, and long after we've kind of come back to the States and resumed our normal lives, the impact that was made, it changed us, but it changed a lot of people over there. There's a bigger picture to what God wants to birth through us, and we can learn that from Joseph, is that It's more than just a baby being born. There's a purpose to this child. And when we understand that, seeing the big picture will help us to deal with the short-term criticism. You imagine what Mary and Joseph went through? Wait, either you guys are guilty of adultery, or Mary is. You're not married yet. I mean, the criticisms. How do you explain it? Well, you know, she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and an angel appeared to me and said it was okay to go ahead and marry her. What are you guys, stoned or something? I mean, do you realize how insane that would sound? And how much criticism that they had to take? Sometimes when God makes us pregnant with something and we give birth to it, or at least we begin to start sharing it with other people, you know, hey, I believe this is God put this in my heart and so on and so forth. People are going to respond, what? I know when I shared with people that I wanted to be a pastor, I had a speech impediment. I couldn't talk very well. And you want to do what? Why? And for me, I had this sense of urgency. I need to become a pastor because I'm sure every Christian in the world wants to be a pastor. Why wouldn't they? You know, when they ask me why, I would say, why not? You know, and because it was so pregnant within me, it was driving me, and I couldn't wait for it to happen. But there are some people who are very encouraging and others not so much. But it doesn't matter whether people understand it or not. If God impregnates you with something and you give birth to it, understand that you give birth to a child, you don't say, okay, hey, we're done. Child on the shelf and say, that was nice. It changes your whole life, doesn't it? Yeah. And so there is always a bigger picture to what God is doing in our life than just, you know, He put that in me to be a pastor. You know, I didn't go get credentialed and go through everything and say, okay, it's done. What next, God? He said, no, that's your purpose. That is your calling. Walk it out. Fulfill it. So, today's pregnancy is tomorrow's purpose. And if you get criticized, and you know, and you can see from God's perspective, and you know that this is what God has for you, just let the criticism roll off your back and be faithful. Move forward. Okay, the fourth thing we can learn from Joseph is to obey promptly. I could put act promptly there. That would sound smoother. But acting and obeying are two different things, right? Obey promptly. Verse 24 says, and Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife. He didn't roll back over and go to sleep and say, okay, thanks, Gabriel. I'll do that in the morning. You know, I'll do it, you know. We'll plan this nice wedding. We'll do it 3 months out. No, he got up. Mary, where are you? You never guess what happened. Well, probably because, I'm pregnant, remember? You know, an angel told me, so yeah, I can believe what just happened. Let's go get married, okay. He acted promptly. You see, once Joseph understood God's will in the situation, he acted immediately, but not until. So you want to wait, you want to hear it clearly, you want to know what God's will is, but the moment you know, it's important that you act promptly. Joseph knew, he understood that there would be difficult days ahead. When you know God's perspective, the immediate, and you see the bigger picture that, hey, God has something long-term in mind, it's going to help to strengthen and sustain you in those difficult days. And this understanding enabled him to act quickly and confidently. You see, once you know that this is what God wants me to do, if you put it off and say, hey, Yeah, I had an angel appear to me a couple months ago. He said, hey, go marry Mary. Mary. What? It was funny. They laughed. Anyway, what was I saying? Yeah. Oh, the longer you wait, the more it gives time for doubt and uncertainty to settle in. And you can begin to question. The farther away you get from that word from the Lord, was that really God that said that? Is it really what he wants me to do? And all of a sudden, maybe some criticism starts coming and people start acting very judgmental towards you. And you say, I don't know. If it was God, then everybody would be lovey-dovey toward me or something. You start rationalizing and reasoning it out. But don't act until you know it's God. And then once you know it's God, you act promptly. Don't give time for doubt or fear to set in. And that's what Joseph did. He rose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. The final lesson through all this is to stay faithful. Stay faithful. Verse 25 says, verse 24, and Joseph rose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, in verse 25, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Their honeymoon was put off for about 9 months. Joseph did not allow his natural desires to get in the way of what God was doing. He was to keep her a virgin until she gave birth. He was obedient to what God was asking of him. You know, sometimes Christians, we start out well, but we end up getting distracted because of our natural fleshly desires. Yeah, we hear a word from the Lord and we get all pumped and all excited, and time goes by and maybe a little bit of criticism, and then all of a sudden there's these natural tendencies, these natural desires, and I'm sure Joseph had those natural desires to go consummate his marriage with his wife. But he says, no, Mary needs to remain a virgin until Jesus is born. Have the wedding, but not the honeymoon. Joseph was obedient to what God was asking of him. It's so important that when we know that we remain faithful, because there is a period of time from the time that the angel spoke to Joseph, and we're going to hear from the angels next Sunday morning. We're going to have fun. We're going to laugh a lot. It's really going to be good. And there is a period of about 9 months that Joseph had to be faithful, had daily remind himself of that word from the Lord, what God had said. When his natural desires, his sexual desires would get stirred up, and I'm married to this woman, you know, and he had to keep reminding himself, thus says the Lord, this is what God said, I need to be faithful. Then Jesus was born, and then Joseph was free to consummate his marriage. And we need to be faithful. Understand it's for a season, but what helps us to be faithful is to constantly remind us of what God is saying to us. What we know God wants to do, what he's birthed in us, what is happening. You may not understand everything all the time, but I can guarantee from the time that it takes 9 months from the time that the child is conceived before the birth happens. And there's a period of time from the time that God births, that seed of what he wants us to do is implanted in us before the birth takes place. We got to be faithful. We just got to be faithful. And God is faithful to us, and it will all work out. And if we become distracted for too long, we can end up backsliding into the world. I've been a Christian over 40 years, over 41 years. I've walked with many people for a season in the faith, only to see them walk away from God. They got distracted. They did not remain faithful. And it breaks your heart to see someone that you love and that you care about walk away from God and walk away from the faith. Understand that those that remain faithful will end up walking in the blessing of God. Proverbs 28:20 says that a faithful man will abound with blessing. So, I want to recap. All right? Are you playing a supporting role in anyone's life? I think we all are. I named a few adult children here who are playing very important role, supporting roles in the lives of their parents. Remember, we reap what we sow. Are you seeing whatever situation you may be going through or you may be a part of? You know, I know as the son-in-law, you know, I help out, do what I can, but Nancy Ann really, as the daughter, carries the bulk of that weight and responsibility. And sometimes when it seems really heavy, I'll take a step back and try to get God's perspective on this and say, this pleases the heart of God. You know, Nancy Ann is doing what is right and pleasing in God's eyes, in his sight. And it helps me, one who plays a lesser supportive role, to support the one who is playing the most important supportive role. Are you able to see the big picture? I remember years ago, someone, they don't attend this church anymore, but they had a parent who had serious health issues, and none of their sibling or even the spouse was willing to take care. So they invited this individual in to their home, who had been very cruel to them when they were a child, to wait hand and foot on them. And one time they came into the office because they knew it was the right thing to do. And I remember they came into the office one time crying and said, I don't know if I can do it anymore. In the midst of it, it was very difficult and they were struggling with being faithful. I don't know if I can do it anymore. And we surrounded her and we prayed for her. And I said, I try to encourage her with these words. I said, this is for a short season of your life. You remain faithful in that. And when that season passes, you can live knowing that you are faithful. Your siblings, even the parent that wasn't there to help, they have to live with the guilt of knowing that they sort of abandoned their responsibility. And that season came and it went. I saw them years later, and I reminded them of that, and I said, so was I right? I mean, you know, years have passed, and they said, oh yeah, I am so, so glad that I saw it through and that I was faithful, because I live guilt-free, and I just, do you understand the difference? You know, the big picture for all of us can be so much better if we can maintain God's faithful and play that supporting role to the very end. Then the question is, the next thing is, are you being obedient to what you know God would have you to do? Are you obeying promptly? God, I know this is what it is you'd have me to do. I'm not going to let anything distract me, but I'm going to obey now before doubt and fear and anxiety settles in. Those are tools of the enemy. And then the final thing is, are you staying faithful? you have this, you're pregnant with something. Or you're helping someone walk through a situation that maybe they're pregnant with. And you have to remain faithful in the midst of it because you haven't seen the manifestation of it. The birth hasn't taken place yet. And it's easy to get distracted by natural desires, you know, and get pulled away and lose focus of that. So are you staying faithful? My challenge to you is this. Let Joseph's story become your story. Be supportive. Always get God's perspective. Look for the bigger picture because there is always one. Be obedient. Obey promptly. Stay faithful. You will be so glad that you did. You know, these testimonies that we're going to hear in a couple of weeks, many of them end up being testimonies of people who did these things. And now they're in a season of reaping back so much of their faithfulness and obedience and so on and so forth. They're wonderful testimonies. And they always say you have to have a test before you can have a testimony. Let's be faithful in the time of testing, and we'll have a testimony that we're willing to come up sometime. Most of us in here would have a testimony that we could share. But let's make our story, Joseph's story, one and the same. Amen? Father, we thank you for Joseph's story. We thank you, Lord, that you've called all of us to be supportive. You've called all of us, Father, to model Joseph's story, his life. I want to ask you this morning, maybe, I don't know how much you understood today, if you came in and you're unsure that you even have a relationship with God, and you may not have understood these points, because Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And being born again means we're spiritually dead in our sins. And when we're born again, we're spiritually born. And when there's a spiritual birth, we have spiritual ears to hear God speaking. We have spiritual eyes to see what God is doing in our life. But if we don't know Christ, if we're not born again, then we can't hear and we can't see the spiritual things and going on in the world. And the spirit realm is far more real than the natural. What we see happening in the natural realm is only a manifestation of things taking place in the spiritual realm. And we access that spiritual realm by being born again. We grow, we mature spiritually, and the more we grow, the more we mature, the more we understand what's happening in the spiritual realm, the spiritual world. But it all begins by confessing our sins and inviting Jesus Christ into our life. I want to give you that opportunity if you've never done that. I would like you to pray with me. And maybe you've made that commitment, that prayer a long time ago, but you really haven't followed through on it. I want to lead you in a prayer this morning and understand it's not the prayer that will save you. It is the heart that cries out to God. The condition of your heart. What comes out of your lips isn't near as important as what comes from the heart. If your heart isn't to repent of your sins, then your prayer will mean nothing. But if your heart is to say, God, forgive me. Come into my life, and you're sincere and you're genuine. God hears that, and he knows that. So I'm going to ask all of us to pray this. And for those of you who are saying, Pastor, I don't know if I want to know Christ this morning. Just pray this from the heart. You'll be born again. And God will begin to speak and open your eyes to see. So let's pray together. Father, I come to you this morning. I confess that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I ask that you would forgive me of my sin. To the best of my ability, I choose to walk away from that sin. Jesus, I ask that you would come into my life. I acknowledge that you died on the cross for my sin. I accept you this morning as my Lord and Savior. I pray that from this day forward, you would lead me according to your plan and purposes. By faith, I receive your forgiveness. And by faith, I receive the gift of eternal life. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. We are going to, the service is officially over before anybody leaves. Yes, thank you, Wanda. I'm coming over here, and if you want to give a testimony in 2 weeks or find out more about it,